Blog Talk Radio. From Insanity to Sane Radio, featuring Ms. Barbara Archer, thank you for tuning in to another anointing broadcast where you will be inspired and God be exalted throughout the earth. We come live every Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please send all inquiries at frominsanitytosane.com. The next voice you hear will be Ms. Barbara Archer.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to another broadcast of Real Women, Real Talk. I am your host, Barbara Archer. I am delighted to be here today, and I thank you for tuning in to another broadcast. This evening, I have a very special guest in the studio with me. When I received the press kit and her book, I was very moved and touched by her story. And y'all know each and every week I want to bring something very inspiring to all the women, just to give you hope, to inspire you that no matter what comes your way, that God is in control and that He will get you through. There is always a process through everything, and we just have to work through that process. But I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that because I just want to get right into her interview this evening. But before we get started, well, I always open up the floor with prayer because that is the foundation of this broadcast, everything that we do, because above all else, you just want God to be glorified. So, Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. And, Father, it doesn't matter what happened today or did not happen. Father, we just know that you're in control of every part of our lives. And even though we may be in the valley today, God, we know that you can take us to the mountaintop. And we just know that even if we end the valley today, Father, that this is only a season. And when that season is up, it's up. And, Lord, I just pray that we will seek you in those difficult times that we're going through so much in the world today. And I pray for all those, Lord, that may not know you or they may be lost. They may be struggling in their marriages, their finances, their health, their business. They may have a wayward child. They may be struggling with emotions right now, Father. But whatever it is, just cover them in your grace and just let them know that your grace is sufficient. And Lord, we pray a special blessing over our guest this evening. And I pray you will continue to bless her and continue to just use her, Lord, because this is a true testimony and a true inspiring story. And I'm just honored, Father, to have the opportunity to do this interview. And I just thank you. And Father, we just give you all the glory and praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. I've had so many emails about this episode, and I'm very excited to bring it forth today. Survival in Southern California in Famous Sexual Assault Trial Starts, and the trial shares her story. Today I have in the studio with me Miss Alyssa Kaplan. Is that correct? Please say so.
Alyssa Kaplan.
Alyssa. Thank you so much for being in the studio with me this evening. I truly am honored. And when I say that, I'm truly honored to have you here this evening because your story is heartfelt. And when I read it, I had to, you know, there was no way that I could pass up this opportunity. You know, you're just an inspiring woman, and that everything that you've gone through, that you're still here today, and you have a testimony, you have a story, and I know it's going to help so many people because a lot of us struggle with forgiveness and freedom. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, just tell us, now, the name of your book, you know, it's just Instill Rum for Hope. Can you just share a little bit about that? You know, it's a survival story of sexual assault, forgiveness, and freedom. But if you could just take us back just a little bit, and I know there may be some things that you may not be privileged at this moment to actually talk about, and I do want to respect that. But can you just give us a little bit of history about the survival, you know, Steal Rum for Hope? You know, just tell us a little bit about that book, and tell us how did that book come to, how was it birthed? And I know it was birthed through a lot of that forgiveness and that freedom, you know. But just give us a little bit of background if you can.
Sure. Everything all started when I was 16. I was sexually assaulted by my boyfriend and two friends at that time. And from that moment on, my life went into, at that point, a downward spiral. There was two trials. It was videotaped, actually, the sexual assault was. And even with the videotape, there had to be two trials because the first one ended up in a hung jury. And luckily, by the grace of God, I was able to get justice the second time around, at the second trial. And the perpetrators did receive 6 years in prison each. They only served about half that, but the fact that I got the justice of having them serve any time was a miracle to me. And during this period, because at that point after the rape, the loss of self, the shame, the guilt, the victim blaming of society, it was so much, it was too much for me to bear, especially at 16 years old. And at that point, I didn't feel like I had any hope. And that was when my hope was lost completely. And I turned to alcohol and drugs. I became addicted to methamphetamine for years. And I never, I had always known God, but during this time, couldn't understand or find a reason as to why what had happened happened, and I blamed him.
Right.
And so I didn't know him at that time. You know, I knew him, but I ran away from him. And I ended up getting clean, and I ended up, at that point, I started wanting a relationship with God again, feeling like he was the reason why I was able to get clean. So I started going to church with my mom, and in 2011, I ended up at a church retreat where I gave my life over to Jesus Christ, and I felt like he was sitting with me that day. He was literally sitting there holding my hand, telling me that it's time to forgive yourself, and then we'll talk about forgiving your perpetrators.
Right.
So that was really where the hope started. The still room for hope came in. And it's been unimaginable. Ever since that day in 2011, April 10th, 2011, my life has changed in unimaginable ways. And it's only because of God and his grace.
Amen. Amen. You know, I mean, your story was so compelling to me as I was reading it. It took me back to a time in my life because I experienced something similar like that way at the age of 14 years old. And it left me paralyzed, and it was only until last year that I got free of it, and I had to finally forgive the person that did that to me. And it took me 32 years of living in a prison wall, you know, and with you, you turned to drugs and alcohol. I turned to a life of crime on the streets. That was my way to deal with my pain, you know. So everyone has their own different way how they deal with the pain, but in Still Room for Hope, you talk about current culture glorifying rape and violence against women. So what is your message to those that have these ideals, you know, when it comes to rape? Because sometimes society, so much guilt is put on the woman, you know, and it never looks at the man, you know, what is she wearing, or she shouldn't have been where she was at, you know, and for so long I felt guilty myself, you know. So what is your message to those people that have that type of thinking?
That's definitely victim blaming, and unfortunately it is rather common in our society, but what I have to say is definitely comes from personal experience. That victim blaming is going to destroy that human being, whether it be male or female, for the rest of their lives if it continues. They need the support of not only their friends and family and those close to them, but they need support from society, because society is what overall is going to bring the justice through the justice system. And if that is a huge part in the healing process for a victim. And if there's not any kind of justice that's served, it's, as in my case with the hung jury, it's due to victim blaming. It's due to the jurors sitting up on the stand from the first trial and saying, she didn't show enough emotion on the stand, so we don't think that they should have a conviction. That was one of their main reasons, I didn't show enough emotion. And it just truly destroys the person. They need support. And I think that how we can change this is definitely education. Education, I think, leads to prevention. And how we teach sex ed classes in schools, I think that sexual assault, what it's about and how to prevent it, what not to do, and I don't want to say how to prevent it, but steps you can take to lessen, you know, the chances or keep yourself in safer areas, you know. It just completely, I think, the education in schools beginning probably in ninth grade, even eighth grade, is a good thing.
Right. Now, what made you decide that you wanted to open up finally, you know, after more than 12 years to share your story?
It really was the next step in my healing process. God had opened the door for me to have the opportunity to be able to write a book and share my story with the world and try and help at least one person, you know, because that's what it's all about. I want to use this to help others. And when he opened that door for me, it was really obvious. He definitely was just gently pushing me. So I went ahead and did it. And I've been so grateful. I'm so grateful I've had this opportunity.
Amen, amen. You know, and I know that your book has been well received in the literature community as well, because so much we hear about it, and so often, you know, I talk to women all the time, and so many women today are just broken, and they're still living in the past of things that has happened to them, and it prevents them from moving forward, you know. I just want to ask you this question, you know, how has it affected you as far as trust, as far as in trusting someone of the opposite sex? Because I know that was one of my biggest struggles. And other women that I lecture and speak with as well, that seems to be a very important issue that a lot of women have after they have been assaulted in that kind of manner. So how has that affected you as far as the opposite sex goes?
To be 100% honest with you, that is the one thing that I still have not been able to fully overcome. That's the number one thing that I still work with my therapist and counseling on. It was easier for me to forgive my perpetrators than it has been for me to trust males to the point of being able to have any kind of relationship. It's hard. It's really, and it's like you said, it's just 100% about the trust, because you just never know. And unfortunately, a lot of the times, the perpetrator of sexual assault crimes is people you know, people that are closest to you, and so that causes that much more damage.
Right, right. You know, well, you know, I didn't know how to really ask that question, but it comes up so often with a lot of women, you know, and, you know, very comfortable with being with someone of the same sex, but the opposite sex, you know, even today, I don't like being around people that I don't know, because I'm still thinking, okay, you know what, can I trust you? Even people who I've known for a long time, I still have that problem, you know, and I'm trying to get better at it, you know, but I do know it is a process, you know, and that's part of the healing as well, you know, but I just want to ask you this question. Now, a big part of your story, you know, I mean, it's just wonderful, you know, and very wonderful and supportive that your parents were through your entire process, but was there ever a time that they had to exercise any type of tough love with you, you know, especially with the addiction, you know? And if so, what type of advice could you possibly offer to other parents with children that could be struggling with similar addictions or issues, you know, that, because sometimes parents, we see our children going through different things, and sometimes we just put it off to the side and we just make pretend that we don't see it,
or it's just, oh, they just going through that adolescent rebellious stage, you know, because I know that's what my mother thought I was going through, you know. So if you could just shed some light on that, that would be very helpful to our listeners.
Sure. Yes, my parents, like you said, have always been supportive, but there was the time when my drug addiction was so severe that I ended up being homeless on the streets because my parents would not allow me to live at their home anymore. They couldn't let, you know, my drug use be around them and the people I was hanging around at that time. It was unsafe to them. And so they kicked me out of the home. And then my mom went as far. My dad did not, but he says today it honestly was because he wasn't strong enough. But my mom had the strength to at one point completely disown me, to where when people would ask her if she had children, she would say she had a son, and that was it. And when I found that out, that was because my dad was the one that informed me that my mom had disowned me and that I was no longer allowed to make any contact with her or come near their home or anything. And when that happened, that honestly was the first real moment that I thought, you know what, it's time to change my life, mm-hmm. and it's time to get clean, because the people that I love the most and that will have always been there for me, when they're turning their backs and they're walking away, that's when there's got to be change.
Right.
So that was when I went into rehab.
Okay, rehab. All right. You know, now, what is the first thing that you would tell someone that who has been victimized? Because so often society has made us feel that, just get on with life, you know, just move past it. Because I know that's one of the things that, you know, finally when I did open up to my mother, you know, I thought she would have taken different avenues, but she didn't, you know. And I believe she felt.
Hello?
Thank you so much for your patience. I don't know what happened, but I did lose the call, but I'm back. I tell you something, this has been a struggle all evening. This has, you know, only twice since I've been doing radio that this has happened, you know, and I have been hit so hard today with just doing the show itself, and I know why I've been hit so hard, because someone that is listening this evening needs to hear this word. And I just want to apologize that the line dropped, so I do apologize, but I am back on the air, and we're going to finish our interview, and there's not a demon in hell that's going to stop us. We're back on the air. I do apologize. The line dropped, and I'm going to tell you, only twice this has happened, and today has been one of these crazy days that normally don't happen, and I know why, because someone is listening today that needs to hear this, and whenever there's little things like this way, it's always an attack. You know, Satan does not want this interview to happen, but we're going to go forward no matter what, and we're just going to pick right up where we left off at. You know, so what my last question to you was, is that what is the first thing that you would tell someone that who has been victimized? You know, what would your advice be to them so that they don't have to go through some of the things that what you had to go through? So what would that advice be?
I definitely would tell them that they're not alone. There are others, there's many others that are going through what they're going through, and to find a support group. Try and find a rape crisis, local rape crisis center, and be around other people that can understand. And also, there's definitely always room for hope. And even if you're questioning God, it's okay. You may not understand what happened to you, but don't ever lose him. And always remember he's there and he's holding your hand, and he will show you the purpose and reason for things.
Amen. You know, that was beautifully said. You know, that is so true, because when we go through it, we can't understand, you know, because I know my thing was, and I didn't realize that all those years that I was angry with God, because I thought that he should have, prevented it that night, you know, and he could have stopped it and he did not, you know, and I couldn't understand the purpose for that pain, you know, but I have discovered and God has showed me that you will discover your purpose through your pain. You know, and a lot of great women who I have met have definitely found their purpose. And apparently you have found your purpose, too. You know, so what are you doing outside of the book itself, you know, as far as other speaking engagements? You know, is that something that you're doing as well, or is that something that we can also look forward to? Because I just believe and I just sense that we have not heard the last of you.
Thank you. I really, at this point, I'm just doing some radio interviews. I have some magazine interviews that are going to be coming up here. One of them is in Guidepost Magazine. That'll be featured in I will be an August feature. But I would ideally love to be able to get the opportunity to travel to different schools and possibly colleges, because it's so prevalent on college campuses, and just share my story and try, like I said, education equals prevention, and to try and just help others and let them know that there's somebody that they can talk to, you know, and they can get help.
Right, right. Now, I do know, I just have this one last question for you. You know, what are some of the signs that parents should look for? Out for, you know, I know that we touched a little bit about it. I believe we touched a little bit about it just before that the line dropped, you know, but I just want to just reiterate, what are some of the signs that even maybe that your parents that they had missed, you know, I mean, was your behavior at the beginning so outwardly that it was evident what was actually happening to you, or was it just a, you know, a more gradual process, you know, I mean, I know mine was just, you know, I went from 1 to 1,000 overnight. You know, there was no, you know, just steps in between, you know. So what are some of the signs that you feel that your parents did not pick up on, or maybe they did pick up on, but they didn't know exactly what was really happening, you know. Well, even if they did know what was happening, I guess, that how was they able to help you, you know, without really knowing what was really happening with you, because sometimes we don't actually know what's going on with our children, you know. So was that evident in your, you know, in your parents' eyes, what was really happening with you, or were you able to really hide a lot of it, you know? And if so, I really want to be able to touch base with this so that people will know that when that does happen, you know, how do we continue to dig deeper? You know, we just don't take what a child say to us at face value, but what can we do as parents, you know, to really bring that out from our children so that they can open up to us and talk to us about these things? Because a lot of young kids today, they carry a lot of things in their lives today that we have not carried before, you know, and the world is much crazier today than it was when we were coming along. So what would that advice be?
Definitely my number one thing to tell parents is don't just turn the other cheek. If you think or have any kind of feeling or assumption that something may be going on, dig deeper. Don't be in denial, because denial, it continues that addiction or whatever the issue that's going on is. In my case, my parents, they did. There were little things that they started picking up on and they were questioning, but they wanted to believe that it could not be true, that I could not be doing drugs, you know. So they were in denial and they would just tell themselves, no, nothing's going on, and they would turn the other cheek. And unfortunately, by doing that, it just allowed my addiction and the hopelessness to progress. Definitely, I think that parents' advice would be to always be open with your child. Let them be open with you. Talk to them about things. Don't things that may be taboo, like rape. Unfortunately, that's still a taboo subject in society. Don't let it be at home. You know, be open with your children and talk to them about everything. Also, I always tell parents, like little signs that you were saying to look out for. One of the biggest ones with myself was a change in friends. I had had the same friends from kindergarten all the way up until my sophomore year, and overnight I started hanging out with a whole new group of people. My parents thought it was weird, but they didn't question it. And so I just tell parents to question what's going on. Be involved in your child's life as much as you can.
Right. Amen. Well, we're almost out of time, but tell us exactly where can we connect with you at, your website, your social media handles, as well as where can we get our hands on your book?
The book can be found at any retailer that sells books, any bookstores, online at Amazon. And actually on yesterday, the audiobook of my book came out, which I narrated as well. I am on Facebook at Lisa Kaplan. And I also, you can go to the HashaBookGroup.com and just type in my name, A-L-I-S-A, and Kaplan is K-A-P-L-A-N, and it'll pull up my book. And Amazon has some really, I've been really excited with the reviews that are on Amazon.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Your story is nothing like I have encountered in a very long time, you know, and I'm just very blessed that you was able to come on and share your story with everyone else, you know. I'm going to definitely reach back out to your publicist in the morning because I would love to bring you back on and do part two of your story again. There is so much stuff that we did not cover, and I would like to be able to do that as well. So there are going to be some other opportunities coming along. I would also like to feature your story in my magazine for the month of June. So that's something I will definitely reach out to your publicist about as well tomorrow. Well, you heard it here from Insanity to Sane under Real Women, Real Talk. You know, go out, get the book, you know, still room for hope. Get the book. You're going to be blessed. An amazing testimony. You do not want to miss out on it. And I just thank you so much for you being patient with me this evening and when the line dropped. And like I said, that's only happened twice since I've been doing radio, you know, and I'm like, okay. But we're going to continue to persevere because that's what God has called us to do. So we just pray blessings over you and everything that what God has for you, because I know he's going to open up major doors for you. He didn't bring you through just for it, nothing. You know, he allowed you to go through it because he has a greater purpose. So we're all out of time right now, but I'll be back next Wednesday. You do not want to miss next Wednesday episode. So until then, be blessed, and remember, God loves you with an everlasting love. Good night, everyone, and I'll see you next week. Okay, thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed my interview with you this evening. I truly did. And you are truly a blessing. Truly a blessing. And, you know, yes, so definitely I want to definitely feature you in my magazine. It's called Be Who You Are magazine, and it is a Christian-based magazine. So I would love to feature your story. So I'm going to definitely reach out to your publicist. In fact, I'm going to reach out to her and send an email to her this evening. So by that way, we can already get that going so we can get that started and get you in for June and see when is the next day and time that we can get you back into the studio for another interview.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That's wonderful.
Oh, thank you for your story, you know, and God bless you. You know, you're just a very courageous woman, and God has done an amazing thing in your life, and that's something that needs to be told throughout the world. People need to hear that God is still moving in the world today. Regardless of what you may see, what's happening in the news and on television, God is still on the throne, and he's still changing lives, you know, no matter, you know, where you're at. He's not far from us, you know. So I just thank you so much, and God bless you with everything. And if there's anything that what I can do to help you get your message out, just let me know. I'd be more than happy to help you in any which way I can, because I believe in your story. And when I first read it, I was just in tears, you know, because it just brought back everything, you know. It brought back 32 years of my own pain, you know, and I was like, wow, you know. So, you know, it really inspired me even more, you know, but I'm going to continue to pray for your healing, and you continue to pray for mine, you know, that we'll both get at a point in our lives that we'll be able to trust.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right.
You know, God
thank you.
Has shown his grace through you as well.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. So you be blessed, and we're going to have you back in the studio real soon, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Okay. Good night, honey.
Good night.
Bye-bye.